Yesterday, I spoke to you on the subject of prayer and praying. Today, I'm going to be speaking on that same subject in the book of Acts, chapter 4, and verse 31 tells us, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Do we really want a repeat of that Holy Ghost that causes us to speak the word of God with boldness? Are we serious in saying that we want another outpouring of the Spirit? We certainly need one, but do we really want one? Are we candidates for the operation of the Spirit as He came upon those disciples? There is a pattern in birth. Though all babies are not alike, yet all babies are born the same way. A person can accurately predict that the coming child will be either a boy or a girl. You can predict that with accuracy. So there are some things that we can say about revival, even without the gift of prophecy. The first is this: the people who experience revival will be an obedient people. What most of us need is not more light. We have far more light now than we are walking in. We are not in need of more truth, for we know more about the Bible now than we are obeying. But we won't admit that. Instead, we excuse ourselves and blame the devil. Satan gets the boot for everything that goes wrong in our life. We are experts in this scapegoat mentality. And then secondly, the people who get revival will be a humble people. They will have nothing of their own to boast of. They will bow low in their stark nakedness, in their spiritual barrenness. I read of one man who wrote an article entitled, "The Old Cross and the New." I believe that he could have also written another article called, "The Old Self and the New." The old self boasted of how much money they had squandered, how much liquor that it could drink and still drive home, how smart he was at gambling, and how brazen he was in his sinful activities. On the other hand, the new self talks of how much they have traveled, how many souls they have won, how many people are wanting them to preach in their pulpits. The new self talks about humility, but on the other hand, he is hurt when he is overlooked. The new self speaks of the cross, but knows nothing of fasting. He writes and preaches about prayer, but does little praying. Whom do we think we're fooling? Certainly not God. Even though we have sung many times, "There shall be showers of blessings," yet the heavens do not yield us rain. The new self sings, "Make me little and unknown, loved and prized by you alone." But on the other hand, loves to be praised, keeps all the newspaper clippings about himself, keeps a record of the places where he has preached, notes all the decisions and the estimated crowds. That may be all right, but to gloat over all that he's done in the Lord is vanity of vanities. The tragedy is, this miserable self hinders revival. It sabotages its own praying. If some of us do have success, we talk as if we did it. But what do we have that we have not received? If we pray with one eye on success, there is no hope for revival. If we pray with the idea that we might be projected to the forefront, we bury every hope of revival. We must not pray for revival as a cure for the empty seats. Prayer for revival must be pure. In pure praying, there is not one element of double interest. Our first request concerning revival must be that God is glorified, and the saving of souls and the filling of the pews will be an outcrop of that revival that you have prayed for. Thirdly, before any biblical outpouring, there must be praying. There must be a praying people, a people waiting on God. This is the pattern that has preceded every revival down through the ages. This was the pattern of the book of Acts chapter 4. When they had prayed, the place was shaken. We read in the Old Testament, "The Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple." Are we seeking the Lord? If the coming of the Lord in all of his holy power means the shattering of what is precious to us, are we willing for this? The new wine of the revival will shatter the old wineskins of formality. Let us pause to consider. Prayer for revival is no sudden fancy, no spiritual hobby. No man taketh a running jump and in one leap lands on top of the Rocky Mountains, but he gets there by toil. So it is with prayer. Jesus says, "When you pray and has shut your door, pray to your Father, and your Father shall reward you openly." Public praying is permissible only if it is preceded by long praying in secret. God's word says that when we seek the Lord, he comes to his temple. We must not be seeking fame, miracles, success, or ease, or full churches, or financial deliverance. Those will come. But first and foremost, we must seek the Lord. It is he who must come in power and glory.